try and forget about. Take a shot and let it out. Let's get right. Now that I'm here, baby, show me a good time.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Show me a good time.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Show me a good. Show me a good. Show me a good time.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I live for the nights that I can't remember, with the people that I won't forget. Spending all the money, I just work my ass off for.
All right, so here goes. The podcast, we talked to Jen Dixon and her husband, Dwayne. We had over 3 hours of recordings that we went through today. And Justin and I spent...
all day.
Yeah. editing it, because we got halfway through. And then...
more than halfway. I still think we were about two-thirds of the way through when suddenly my computer decided to be a jerk and we lost all of what we did.
So we had to start over, and now at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, we have it all edited and ready to go, and under 2 hours, it's like an hour and 40 minutes. So I'm pretty proud of myself for all my editing.
Jamie is a pimp.
So I hope you guys enjoy.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
How about you?
Reminds me of the steak from Buffy.
Is that a steak? Jen Dixon, do you have a steak in a box? Is that for your vampire slaying needs?
Sorry, what?
Do you have a steak in the box?
No, it's a unicorn horn.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Oh, that's even better.
That is
even better.
Better
than a steak.
Thank you.
It's a unicorn horn. Friends of ours, well, you know the people at the winery, the Taylors.
Yes.
Well, they did this movie called Heart Shot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was, it was a drug. Unicorn blood has become a drug that people... crave and everything, and I'll move that little candle thing. You can put your glasses, not too many. So anyway, they have this movie, and we invested in the movie. So this was our prop. So we've got, it's like a museum piece. So it's got unicornus, americanus, and
I was like, is that a steak from Buffy?
I've got the friends now that could probably hook me up with that.
You've got Buffy connections?
Yes, I do.
What?
Tell me this.
Yeah. Well, I've got good friends that live and work in L.A.
Okay.
And they, he's done a lot of work with theater and props and things and stuff. So he has all kinds of memorabilia of his own.
So many different kinds of friends.
And thanks to the intertubes, basically. Intertubes are my friends. And that's kind of where it all started, because I met him through another friend who's into Superman. And I'm not that big into Superman, but I went to the Superman celebration.
I saw all those pictures.
Yeah.
That looked so cool.
It was. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it makes the town, when it's not in celebration, makes Ogden look like a booming metropolis. I mean, it's huge, comparatively speaking. And it's kind of a little ghost town. But about 30,000 people show up for this. It's a street festival, kind of, so you have all kinds of, you know, lemon shake-ups and meat on
carnival
stick.
Food.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And they do costume contests and they bring in celebrities, and so yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome. I loved all the pictures. What kind of celebrities were there? Were you taking
anybody
pictures?
Anybody that was involved with like a Superman movie or Smallville.
Was Dean Cain there?
He has not been yet. He has not been yet.
He's so hot.
But Gerard Christopher, he was Superboy.
I don't really know anything about Superman. This Superman movie is the first one I've seen, and I was not a fan. So
this most recent one? Okay.
The storyline was good. I don't know why I didn't like it, because the storyline was good, the acting was okay, except for the villain. The villain was an awful actor. But everything else was okay, but for some reason I just...
No, and everybody has... I mean, I'm not a huge fan. I can't watch some of the old ones, the old Christopher mm-hmm. Reeve ones, because to me they are just so campy, I
yeah.
can't stand it.
Yes.
It's like, I can't watch a lot of movies, because it's like, oh my god, just no. Oh, no, just no. You know, and everybody's like, oh, but this is so I got... No, can't do it. Can't do it.
Are we talking about Star Wars?
We are talking about anything old and campy, and sometimes everybody thinks they are so wonderful, and I'm like...
So you're not a fan of camp. I thought you did like...
I like some camp, but I mean, if it's deliberately camp, that's one thing.
Yeah.
if it's accidentally camp and they're trying really hard to make it awesome and it just sucks, that's when I cringe in different ways. Because it's like, oh my god, I cannot believe I'm watching this. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. Deliberate camp is one thing. When you know going in. So they've had Margot Kidder, they've had Tracy Scoggins, they've had Michael Rosenbaum, they've had, who else, Allison Mack. A lot of the people that have been involved in any of the...
Allison Mack from Smallville.
I was going to watch Smallville once, like Drew let me borrow the first season, and then I just never got around to watching it, and then I moved, so I had to give it back.
Well, I have all of them. 1 through 10.
But I think the whole reason I borrowed it is because I thought it was Supernatural, not Smallville.
Now, see, sometimes Supernatural can make me go, really?
But that guy's so adorable.
I get that. They are adorable. Sam and Dean are adorable. But, okay, the one where they were just doing the one with the Indians, that was the one it was on the first season.
I've never seen any of them.
Oh, you haven't
yet?
I've seen all of them. There's the guy, they go out and they talk to the Indian guy, and he keeps talking about, well, they sent the cavalry.
I don't remember that one.
Okay, there's cavalry, which is the mountain.
Uh-huh.
And there's cavalry, which are the men on the horses.
Which is what he was supposed to be saying.
And I'm sitting there going, ah! You know, I can't do it. I can't. It's like, as one of my friends say, you know, I can't go to the movies with you. I just can't.
Because you just ruined
it. I do. I ruin it for everybody because it's like somebody tried to get me to watch, you know, like old Fellini spaghetti westerns once. And the makeup, you know, the guy was injured. And, you know, there was this close-up of his face. And the next close-up, the makeup was totally different. I'm like, wait a minute. That's totally like, it's like you're missing the point. Click. Turns it off. Like, Sorry.
So back to Star Wars. You don't like Star Wars.
Not crazy about the old
ones.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I mean,
you're in good company there because
yeah,
we don't get it.
If you wanted something interesting to read, these might be. Have you seen these? The table topics?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. I've got the spirits. Ask each other kind of questions. Would you rather meet your great great grandparents or your great great grandchildren?
I love those things. So, what would you rather? Oh, my gosh. I have so much fun with these things.
I've got four of them.
But I always like think of gross ones. Like, would you rather like swallow someone else's?
This
spit?
Is a couple. This is a couples edition.
I have two that I really want to ask.
What do you want?
I don't need anything with couples right now. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, we're going straight to therapy.
There you go.
Hey, I know about therapy.
We've been analyzing everyone lately. So
nothing wrong with that. Armchair psychology.
That's right. Straight from no credentials of Justin Bobby.
You know. Okay. Ask away, Miss Jamie. You keep finding the questions you say.
All right.
I mean, what's the point? Are we just going to read it?
Well, are we recording already?
Yeah. I started as soon as we walked in.
Oh, Justin, you and your sneaky record.
People are so angry with me lately. Like, I get constantly accused of recording people. Most of the time, they're right.
Okay.
You're going to get a federal lawsuit.
Yeah, right. Nell and Ross did not want to do it at all. Like, we tried to get them to do it last night, and they're like, Ross is like, I'll say stuff, but, like, what if I want to, like, run for an office? I can't have that on there. And I was like, Justin's already recording this. And he was like, you can't record without our permission.
Yeah. Do you edit it?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say.
I can edit it. I don't think I did with
the first
one. The first
one's not edited.
I have the ability to edit.
Because you can get a lot of boring crap that nobody cares
about.
Yeah.
Which is why the first one was, like, an hour and 40 minutes. But they're not all going to be an hour and 40 minutes.
Okay.
This is just me testing.
Okay,
water,
so I totally think that we should just ask some random
it's
questions and discuss.
I bet. I bet. It sounded like it. I was a little surprised when that was what she messaged me to do. I was just, you know, and I'm so crazy. I was like, okay. I didn't even ask the whys and wherefores. I was like, all right. Whatever.
Well, when I thought... I did stop. Oh, well. We
is
were
it
really starting it anyway. Well, I mean, it's... I don't know that we want to explain every time. Like, I feel like that's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the whole idea is,
like, Jamie has this insane way of never letting go of people and staying in touch with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Even sometimes to her detriment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I know how that feeling is.
I don't. Like, I'm the type of person that I lose connection with people really easily. And I don't like that. Like, I envy the way Jamie can just keep in touch with everyone and anyone. And I've been kind of wanting to get into this podcasting scene, and I thought the best way, like, a good way to do that is just be able to sit down with different people every so often and have a conversation and try to concentrate on people that I haven't talked to maybe in a long time or don't keep in touch with as well as I should or as well as I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And just sit down, have a conversation about anything. Doesn't really matter what, like, it doesn't have to be,
like, on a topic.
It's not an interview show. I wouldn't sit down with somebody to interview them, necessarily, but that doesn't mean I won't ask them questions.
Right, sure.
You know, like, it's just a free phone conversation that happens to be recorded and posted for the world.
For the world.
So, I don't know, it's kind of fun, and I don't know how long I'll do it or if I'll keep doing it, but I'm doing it, so we'll see where it goes.
There you go.
And it'd be cool in years down the road to have those conversations.
Oh,
know,
yeah. I have actually, very similarly, I recorded it as a little girl without anybody's knowledge or consent. But I have my great grandparents on cassette.
See, and that's awesome. And you have that. So
I have their voices.
Yeah.
Forever.
That's
as
so
long
cool.
as I don't lose it or it dies or, you know, something else. But,
right.
So
yeah,
you were podcasting before you knew it was
podcasting. Yeah, but I'm just not broadcasting it to the world. It's just in a drawer somewhere with, you know, my childhood handwriting that says, do not tape on. You know, just wild and crazy Memorex and, woo-hoo, on the radio. Sorry, Grandpa.
Heart of Glass came on. I had to record over you. That was me.
I loved
that. Wait, it wasn't Heart of Glass. There was like another song, Funky Town. I like had this cassette made that had that song on it. I'm like so old right now. I just realized that.
Okay, welcome to my world. In 9 days.
21 days.
Well, I have 9 days until 40.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Where did the last 8 years go, Jen?
If I know. Yeah, I turned 40 on the 10th.
Are you excited about it?
I'm not afraid of it. It just, in some ways, it seems very surreal. It doesn't seem like it's possible.
Because you don't think of yourself as
No, I don't
40,
think of myself
yeah.
as being 40. I mean, I swear that I just turned 30.
Yeah.
You know, so when they do talk about once you go over the hill, you pick up speed, yes, you do. But I will say that my 30s have been phenomenal. Awesome, wonderful, phenomenal. Much better than my 20s ever were.
Mm-hmm.
So I am so not into the whole, oh my God, I'm aging. You know, would I like to be skinnier for my 40th birthday? Would I like to remember that, oh yeah, you know, I was in better shape? Yeah, well, I would. But not like all of a sudden, you know, one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel either.
See, I was hoping, because everyone says that. Everyone's like, once you hit 30, like, you just don't, like, it's so different. Like, it's a great feeling. You feel so free. I hit 30, and all I do is just keep freaking out about how I just wasted the past year. I'm about to be 31, and this past year has been the most hottest mess year of my whole entire life. Like, I have nothing pulled together. I have no idea what I want to do. I'm not in a relationship. Like, I'm just this girl that's, like, roaming around just acting like she's 21 instead of 30.
But are you finding yourself, though? I guess that...
Am I finding myself? I hope not, because I don't like
you
this
don't
person.
Like being yourself. Okay, but at least you know that.
Yeah.
At least you know that. So that's a little bit of a different situation than being, you know, you at least have your 20s behind you to go, okay, this is not necessarily who I want to be. Where in your 20s, you were like, wow. You know? At least, you know, you're getting that insight, and you're growing as
but
a person. Even if you're not where you want to be. I mean, I'm sure not where I want to be either.
I don't know, like, it's kind of like that whole Pinterest thing where you, like, see the Pinterest, like, the e-card that's like, well, I realized I was 30 and not, I tried to hang out with 20-year-olds and then I realized why I'm 30 and I don't. And I'm like, I party rock way harder now than I ever did in my 20s. Like,
sometimes you wear me out.
Yeah. I wear out my friends. Like,
well,
I will go all weekend long and just
drink and have like 2 hours of sleep. Like,
but then at the same token, you say that this is not where you
want to
be.
Right, it's not at all what I want to do.
But you do it.
Yeah, because
so there's obviously a payoff there.
Yeah, the payoff is I'm temporarily happy for like a few hours.
Okay, so you have to be medicated.
And then I probably need some Xanax in my life. That's probably
or something. Yeah. I became comfortable with who I was. I think in my 30s I became better acclimated into not so much worrying about what other people think, even though that doesn't altogether go away. Don't worry. I still have that, holy crap, you know, I look like an idiot. But I can't help but feel like, you know, it's my life, it's my body, it's whatever. I've made a crap load of mistakes in my 30s, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I've also lived a much freer, uninhibited, fearless life. And that's kind of where I think that it's the biggest thing for me is my 30s, is the fact that I was just fearless. It was like, okay, fine, let's do this then. And, you know, wandered to London on a moment's notice by myself. Just did California for a week by myself. You know, I think that, yeah, I've always been an independent person, but I've gotten back into feeling like I can do anything I really want to do, and I don't have the limitations of, you're a single white woman, you know, you're fat, you're this, you're that, all that negative self-talk. It's just like, I still hear it, but the voice inside me is louder that says, just go.
You can say I am who I am now.
Yeah, exactly, and it's, I'm comfortable in that, you know, and I've done all sorts of things, you know, I've bared my body for art, you know, and it's, in all of its rolls and bumps and
awesome.
Cottage
that
cheese
is,
thighs. And
I can do it.
Yeah. I
like,
mean,
I can't even put on a bathing suit,
it's weird
let alone,
to see,
like,
you know, it's weird to see your naked flesh in a gallery.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's weird to walk by and go, that's my fetus.
Wow.
Okay. But it's also somewhat liberating in the fact that, you know, it is who you are, and that we are not all the same, and we're not all cookie cutter.
I just don't think that I'm gonna wake up one day and be like, I'm cool with who I am. Like,
I don't think you ever go. I just think your concern wanes after a while. After a while, you never become, I don't think, as a woman ever, like, because like I said, I'm not thrilled with where I am, but I am stronger in, I'm not going to let it hold me back from doing whatever it is I want to do. Where before I'd be like, oh my God, I can't do this, you know, fat, I can't let anybody see, I can't. Whatever. It's a fleeting moment of your life, and if you don't take it, you don't do it.
That's cool.
I think you miss out, you know, and then part of me would rather deal with my own body shame and deal with my own, with the scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Of doing what I do, rather than looking back on my life with regret and going, why didn't I do more while I had the chance, while I had my mobility, while I had my health, while I had freedom.
Right.
And it's a challenge, and I know that, you know, and that's what Dwayne and I have spent a couple of nights in not so distant past laying in bed going, why are we still here?
Wow.
Huh?
I said that, wow, that's kind of...
Yeah. I mean, why are we still in Danville?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not a lot.
I thought it was a little more.
No, I knew you were talking about Danville. Just so
yeah, because it was like, you know, what is keeping us here? And it's like, well, because one, we have this home, you know, real estate in Danville. Woo, yeah, okay.
Good luck getting something out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And two, mom and grandma. You know, because I think that if I moved away, even though I'm not very, very active with them.
Yeah.
I think as soon as I moved away, some crisis would ensue. And I know that if something happens, I got two hoarders of sorts on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I got houses I'm going to have to clean out because I'm not going to be nobody else. And if Viv goes first and not my mother, my mother's not going to be able to do it. So it's still going to end up being my mom's life. So, yay! So maybe that's why I'm, you know, I'm living life as a rebel going, I'm going to do whatever I want to.
As I live in Danville.
Yeah. I didn't know you were on that same train that most other people are of why am I still here in Danville. I always got the impression that you were very tied into the scene in Danville and you liked
a lot
of things about it.
I love the arts in the community. I love the history. I mean, obviously, this is where my family emigrated to in 1869. You know, I'm the fourth generation born here. I was the last baby born in the family homestead. You know, I'm tied in by marriage or blood to 50% of the population. In Danville, your family tree doesn't fork. It just folds in.
I know that.
I know. And so, yeah, I mean, it definitely has a lot to my heart. But at the same time, I mean, I'd love to live a little bit more anonymously in Chicago or Oregon, Portland, Oregon, or someplace like that where I've always been, and this is not being, you know, bragging, but I've always been a big fish in a little pond.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been, you know, the only child, or the gifted kid, or the one that left from Bismarck and went to Schleiman. I mean, there's always been something that seems to me that the spotlight has been on. Some of that's deliberate, you know, obviously theater.
Yeah.
I do certainly have the attention whore tendency, that's okay. But at the same time, sometimes you just want to, especially when you fail, you'd like to do that a little more privately.
Yes.
And when you, you know, when you fall over, it's not something that you want everybody
to know about.
To know and see. And I'm over that. I guess when I was a kid, that was more of a, you know, oh, gotta be me, gotta be the center of attention, gotta be the, you know, the lead and life. But I'm not there. I just want to have a comfortable life with my cats. And if I get drunk and stupid, then I want to be drunk and stupid and not have it risk being a lead story in our small town. You know?
Right.
Because that was like, I read the other day. It was like, I felt so bad for this person. And I don't know them and I don't know what they, you know, their whole drama. But reading about this this lady who works at a nonprofit organization that works with children, she got a DUI. Front page of the Gazette. I do too. It's like, okay, well, chances are good. We've all done this.
Right.
Yeah.
We've all driven when we shouldn't have. We don't know how bad this was. But why do you have to be a muckraker? And she wasn't working. Wasn't like she was at the office.
Right.
Wasn't
it was
like
just a DUI.
But now you've brought negative press to this nonprofit organization. So you can't even live your life. You can't even be human anymore. And that to me is a little bit of a fishbowl. I mean, I'm certainly not the British royal family, but I get a little crazy sometimes when it's like, I don't want to go out.
Yeah.
I'd love to see people, I'd love to be goofy, I'd love to, you know, but come to me.
Yeah.
You know, come here, we can all be stupid together.
Where I can
and
control
just,
the environment. Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't want, you know, that, I just don't want that anymore. I'm, again, older and hopefully wiser, and it's just meh, it's not my thing. I still love to party, I still love to drink, I still love to be stupid, but, you know, I've smoked pot now with a couple of really high up people in the community. And I keep thinking to myself, my God, if anybody ever caught this, this would be like major, you know, when we have nothing to report, this would be a huge scandal.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be a huge
scandal.
And
it shouldn't, I mean,
right.
These are two people sitting on a patio
drinking
scotch and smoking pot.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And, wow.
Media altogether has gotten out of control in that sense. Like, there are people getting hurt because of things like that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's insane.
Well, I mean, I think that's truly why we lost Princess Diana. I think we have
that. Oh,
yeah,
that's...
Yeah, I mean...
That's the example, but...
And, you know, you would hope that would have been a wake-up call. I don't know that it was as much of one as it could have and should have been. But...
Are we talking about how bad the paparazzi is now?
Oh,
yeah, like, if you turn on TMZ, like...
Ooh, that
I'm
guy is really
half the time when these celebrities are running into cars, if it's not because they're being chased by all these flashing bulbs, you know? It's insane.
I feel like I would eventually, like, lose it on a paparazzi. I would probably be the one that's, like, in the magazine for, like, taking
off my heel
and, like, smashing into my heel. Like, that would totally happen. I would take off my Louis Vuitton and I would be like, bam.
Yeah.
Like, get out of my face. Like, and I know they sign on for that kind of lifestyle. I get all that, and I know that I feed into it because I buy trash magazines and I watch that stuff. But at the same time, like, there is too much. There's too
much.
Well,
and it's at the immediacy of society. Are we feeding this because of the internet? Because of the fact that you can eat and learn and get all this at a moment's notice.
Right.
So the instant gratification.
And we're all like, I feel like that is probably the worst thing about technology is, like, I feel like everything's just so right now. Like, I get mad if, like, my internet doesn't work for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, if it's a slow connection and you don't get something.
Yeah.
You
like,
know, and that to me is a huge, you know, wake-up call sometimes when I do the same thing. I see the same trait come out in myself when it's like I'm trying to look something up because, of course, I'll just Google it, you know.
Yeah.
Who played so-and-so on whatever?
Yep.
Just a second.
Yeah.
You know, where before you never had that kind of...
Yeah.
But now we are so addicted to
it. I feel like it's made me really ADD, too.
Oh,
like,
I agree.
I can't go longer than, like, 5 minutes without doing, like, 5 things at the same time. Like, I have to be constantly stimulated.
And we're not... And, you know, it's proven that we're not doing well. We are not... this is not accomplishing anything.
Yes.
We are not becoming more adept at multitasking.
Right.
We're just becoming more frazzled.
Yeah.
And not doing anything well.
True story. Mm-hmm. So the first one, is it more difficult for you to speak kindly or honestly?
Kindly or honestly? For me, kindly, probably. Because honest comes right out.
Yeah,
mouth.
You just blurt that right out. Yeah.
I have to work on actually not being too honest sometimes. That's my problem.
Yeah. So, I agree.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I feel like I speak really kindly to people, though. Like, I'm honest. Like, if you ask me for your opinion, if you're like, hey, what do you think about my hair? I'll be like, I don't like your bangs. But... if I just see you and I'm, like, not, like, if you're not asking me a specific question, I'll be like, oh, I really like your dress, you know, mm-hmm. like, I'm, like, full of compliments, but at the same time, if you're going to ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Right.
So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like they're both pretty easy.
I would say I it's easier for me to be honest, like, most of the time, but I'm in that same boat where it's, like, I can be kind and... not abrupt and hateful and hurtful, but then there are also times too I struggle with sometimes saying the things that I should say and I don't say, you know, in the situations where I should be honest and I just can't make myself
really
do it. You
know? Oh no, I don't have a problem with that. Like, I'll tell you the truth.
No, but I mean, I have to be provoked to say it. I mean, it's not like sometimes I you know, when I would say to you, you know, for example, you know, you're a train wreck. You're an absolute train wreck. Your life is in a shambles. You're doing this, 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 and this. You're screwed.
People need that, though.
But I'm saying it's not my place to just all of a sudden be blunt and blurt that out. I mean, and who am I to be the one to...
say that somebody
to say these things. I mean, this may be what the entire community is thinking,
right?
But it's not necessarily my job.
I get that totally.
I don't know. I'm the person that will spew that. Like, I will be like, "This is what's wrong with your life." Like,
you never
it.
Question whether you were the person to say that. You're just like, "I was here, so I said it."
Yeah,
yeah. And I think that's, you know, again, I think it depends on the relationship that you have with the person you're talking to, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh yeah, I mean, I guess I wouldn't like. Hear something about somebody and go up to them and be like, actually, I probably would. I'd probably be like, so I heard you're a train wreck. What's going on?
Well, I mean, if it's somebody you know and you like, I think it would be something where I would be very candid and say, hey, you know, I heard...
fix that.
So-and-so. I don't know if it's true. I don't care if it's true. But you should know that I'm here. That's one thing.
Yeah.
But I think if it was somebody that wasn't close to me... I might be more intent to go just to you and go, oh my God, do you hear so-and-so of us? You know, as opposed to saying it to the person that maybe needed to hear it.
I found myself in a position lately where I say something, and it's completely honest, I mean every word of it. But then I realize later, I shouldn't have said it that way, or I shouldn't have, it wasn't my place to say all of that. So I have to go back and apologize. So I'm really trying to concentrate lately on... thinking before I speak.
Well, but at least, again, and that's a sign of maturity right there, is the fact that you at least are realizing
mm-hmm.
that you are occasionally opening your mouth before you're thinking it totally through.
Yeah.
And you're a big enough person to go back and apologize, because 90% I can imagine of people aren't real good about going back and saying, you know what,
yeah,
when I told you the other day that you look like, you know, Calvin the Grudge, that probably wasn't the nicest thing for me to say, and I apologize, you know, and
I spew out whatever, and then I apologize.
Maybe you need to find a balance there. Less spewing means less apologizing, just saying.
All right.
Let's move on to therapy for a second.
You have another question?
What do you hoard?
I don't hoard anything. I, like, don't care about material things.
Nothing that you keep or hoard,
no,
that you should,
like,
get rid of?
No, I will just get rid of stuff that I've had for, like, a bit. Like, okay, so when I was in high school, like, you know, we didn't have texting and everything. So,
mm-hmm,
like, I had all these notes,
okay,
that me and my friends had, like, written to each other. I had, like, a whole cedar chest full of, like, notebooks that we passed around and notes and stuff. And, like, I made, like, I kept it in storage all these years from, like, high school until, like, a couple years ago. I got it out of storage, and I never actually went through them or anything. But one day, I was just like, what am I going to do with these for the rest of my life? And I threw them all in the trash. Like, I just threw them away. And I feel like, other than, like, I like pictures, but, again, like, I don't have physical copies of them. They're, like, all on social media or on my phone or wherever. Like, I don't hoard anything physical at all. I will just throw stuff away. Clothes.
I probably, my thing, I have a lot of family pictures and stuff, so I have 3 Rubbermaid containers of pictures, and that's something that I'm very protective of.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you want to talk about something that's more recent, my addiction, as far as something I always want and I have a ton of and I can totally, you know, out myself, bath products.
Oh, yeah.
I was just, like, thinking that. I was thinking of the Jenna Marbles has a video that's, like, about all the things, like, girls keep in their showers. Like, there's, like, this much shampoo left, but you're not throwing out that bottle of shampoo. There's, like, yeah.
But, I mean, my thing is the fact that, you know, I have a ton of lotions and potions and bath soap. And
stuff
whatever.
You'll never use.
I will use it. I mean, I do use it. The thing is, I use it every day. But I end up going out, if there's something on sale, I'll go out and buy more. And I don't need it. But it's a new fragrance, it's a new this, it's a new that. Oh, it's on sale. And then I've got an entire shelf in my upstairs linen closet. That
so
is
you just
nothing.
Cycle through them just to make sure you use them.
Oh, yeah. I do. And then it's always like Christmas when, you know, when you run out in the shower, it's like, what am I going to use? And then we had a garden tub that it's not functioning right now. It needs to be replaced, but the garden tub up here in our bathroom. And I had those philosophy fragrances,
oh, yeah,
the bath, the all-in-one bubble bath, shower gel, whatever, that always had, like, the recipes on the side.
Yes.
The food ones, the blueberry cheesecake, and blah, 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 probably like 20 of those. All lined up along the edge, just kind of decorative. And that's probably the one thing that I'm hoarding as opposed to using. And I've used up a couple of them,
uh-huh,
but it's hard for me to talk myself into that because it's like, oh, but it was such a pretty display and you only had so many of these. I needed them. Yeah. That's my thing. Yeah, I'm a lotion and potion junkie.
What do you hoard, Justin?
Mine's actually really simple. It's just clothes. And there are probably a couple good reasons if I was going to analyze myself here why I do it. My closet, my cabinets, my drawers are full of clothes. Most of it, probably a good 80% of it, I don't wear or haven't worn in a long time. And some of it is stuff I should throw away because they're holy or ratty and I wouldn't wear them even if I wanted to. Like, I wouldn't ever go back and wear them again.
But you can't throw them away.
I have shirts that I've never worn.
Stop.
Part of it is probably because, like, I'll look at shirts that I really like, and maybe I wore once, but then I got too fat for them.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like a weight issue thing. I'm like, well, one day I could be skinny again, and then I
yeah,
could wear it.
That'd be a big
so
waste.
Why would I get rid of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that would be a waste.
Because I like that shirt.
Yeah.
I would be really mad if I lost a bunch of weight and then didn't have that shirt. And really,
but
I wouldn't be that
mad. By the time you lose the weight, then you'll forget that you had the
right,
shirt.
And I'd probably go out and buy a bunch of new shirts. Because that's what you do when you lose weight. So I probably won't want the shirt, so I need to get rid of it right now. And there's a bunch of stuff that I wouldn't want to wear. Even if I did lose a bunch of weight, I'll never wear these clothes again. Why do I keep them? I backed up at one point a bunch of stuff that I know I would never wear again, and it's still sitting in a garbage bag at the end of my bed. It's been 3 months now.
I'm gonna throw it out.
I can't. Like, I physically can't.
Okay, the next time I go to your house,
I can't
I'm
donate them,
it
throw
out.
Them away. Some of them are not even worth donating. They're just there in my house, my apartment.
Well, I know what my next project's gonna be.
I probably do need someone to come over and hold my hand and say, okay, put this in a bag.
Yeah.
Take a gear of this. Because that's the only
one
that's gonna
happen.
Yeah,
because there's the 3-bag rule. To
yeah.
keep, recycle, or donate, and then totally trash.
I have trouble even categorizing them. Like, I get to that point.
Oh, don't worry, I'll take care of it.
I'm a hoarder.
I'm good at
like,
that
when
stuff.
I watch that show Hoarders, I relate to that in the clothes area, because if I had more space, I'd probably have a whole room full of things like that I don't need. It's insane.
How did I never know this?
Well, part of it is probably because growing up, I didn't have access to a lot of new clothes. So if you didn't hold on to clothes, you wouldn't have them. You'd be wearing the same thing every day. So I did. I got a pair of clothes that I liked, a shirt or pants or whatever, and I held on to them. And I didn't let them go. I didn't throw them away. When they started to get too small or something, I held on to them. You know, so I think that's part of where it started, and then it went into like the whole weight issue thing where I would get too big for clothes and be sad that I couldn't wear them. So it's just like a combination of the two things.
I've had a few pieces like that, but not like I do. I not like the compulsion to buy bath goodies.
Yeah.
Because I smell so good.
I know, and that's I guess it is. It's one of those hedonistic, or you know, you're so fixated on the smell and.
Is justice or forgiveness more important?
I would say in the world, forgiveness is more important, but.
Justice feels better. Yeah, I agree.
We were just talking about this yesterday at Raynell's house. Like, we were talking about King David and his sons, and how that one dude's like sister got raped, and so then he did something, and then somebody else did something, and then like I can't remember, but. Yeah, we were just talking about that, because he couldn't just, like, forgive and move on. Instead, he just kept bringing more problems and more problems and more problems, because he just was, like, trying to fight for his justice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, like, weird that I'm talking about a Bible story, and I don't even know where it's at in the Bible or anything. That's bad.
Google that.
Yeah, where's Google when I need
smart.
It?
Yeah, I know what you mean, and you can get caught up in attempting to exact justice, regardless of whether or not you believe that the ultimate justice, is upon death or not. I think it's very easy to fall into that. And I was very much vindictive when we were all, when I was younger, very much of, you'll get yours. Don't you worry, kind of thing. Oh, yeah. I was the stalker crazy girl.
Oh, wow. I couldn't picture you like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Very, very much, 13 friends' car keys so I could travel in different vehicles at any time and chase you around and figure out where you were. And, oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Insecure Jen Dixon? I can't even handle this.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wrap my head around that.
Oh, yeah. I can point you in the direction of an ex-boyfriend you could talk to, and you can talk about my crazy ways. Yeah. I did. He broke up with me, and how dare he? Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love this story.
Oh, yeah. Very true.
Well, this kind of answers this next one here. Do you need to be more or less crazy in your life choices?
Well,
now you probably have got it together.
Oh, yeah,
so
I'm not.
You're
good. You want to talk about karma being such a delicious little bitch. He ended up knocking up and subsequently marrying my first cousin. So now all my blood beats in the veins of his children, and I just think that's hysterically wonderful.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Back to small town awesomeness.
Yep, his mother-in-law is my mother's half-sister.
Love small town.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Everybody, I'm 50% flip. Hold it on.
So do you need to be more or less crazy in your life choices?
Go ahead, party girl. Answer that question.
I need to be more crazy in the sense that, like, I need to stop thinking about all the stuff I want to do and actually do it. But I need to be less crazy on the party side because I don't need to do any of that anymore. Like, Labor Day last year started a year of horrible choices for me. This past year, since last Labor Day, has been one bad decision after another bad decision after another bad decision. I just all of a sudden became really focused on boys and making bad decisions with boys. That's what it's been.
Okay.
So last night was like my New Year's Eve. So like, it's a whole new year of making good, non-hot mess decisions.
Okay.
So crazy in the fact that like, I need to decide what I want to do with my life and do it, not just be like, oh, I need to do this or this. And just
well, that's
to
the thing, it's, you know, developing, because I don't think it's crazy that you're thinking about those things. But I think, you know, obviously you need to have some sort of follow-up and some sort of plan to bring it to fruition. And I think that's where it sounds like you miss it, that piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Oh, do I have another question? What's the most significant problem facing the world?
Oh, you just have to pick one?
Most significant. That's
hunger.
One.
Hunger, I think. I think hunger is...
People are hungry and there's no reason for it.
Yeah, because there is such... There's such a disparity in wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the capability, and we have had for years and years, to wipe out hunger and poverty. And we have the haves and the have-nots. And I'm not saying that everything needs to be socialized, but those who have really need to understand that they're the only ones that can help exact change. And
so no survival of the fittest?
Oh, I'm not saying that there's not survival of the fittest. I mean, if you're dumb as a post and you walk in front of a bus, then your time was up. Yay. You know, don't get me wrong.
It's just Darwin, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. The Darwin principle is certainly right there. But... I think that a lot of people or a lot of countries are allowed to remain in poverty and in hunger because somebody in a position of power doesn't see the value of these people as just human beings, and everything is a transaction. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll give you food and aid, but what do you got? You got oil? You got gold? You got, what do you got? Oh, you don't have much? So if you're not offering some fabulous commodity, then, you know, and by virtue of geography, I mean, I'm just thinking about people in, you know, in Africa and things like that, then you have a situation where you have a dictatorship and you have people, very few people with power and very many people without it, and subsequently without access to, you know, just the quality of just a simple, decent life. So, you know, I think that's...
Yeah, I was reading something about Bill Gates. It was talking about how he has more money than he could ever spend. Like, he'll never be able to spend all this money if he wanted to. And when I think about someone like that, then I think about there are so many families that don't have food at dinner time, you know. I don't understand why in a world of the internet in 2013 we can't connect these two people.
Well, I mean, and
like
he
it
is.
Makes no
I mean,
sense.
Have,
yeah, and
have,
I know he is. He
I
is
mean, he is.
That.
But again, you
but
have
he
to.
He couldn't give all his money away if he wanted to before he died.
But right, but you also have to be mindful of putting it in the hands of people that will actually utilize it in the right way and having some control over that. As somebody who's worked in the nonprofit organization, I've worked with Julius Hegler quite a bit. And so if you want to talk about somebody locally that's worth millions of dollars, the problem with that is the fact that everybody knows it, and everybody comes with their hand out. So the man can't go do anything without somebody saying, can you give me a donation for this? Can you give me a donation for that? Can you, you know?
Right.
And you get weary, and you have to pick and choose where you feel like you can do the most good. You know, and Gates is working on vaccinations and world health.
Yeah.
And
I didn't mean to pick on him. I was just
no, but I mean he's a perfect example. He's a perfect example.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the situation. It is.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
But couldn't he pick like five families in Africa and have food shipped to them.
I think he does do things like that. I'm just saying, like I think about somebody with that kind of money, and there are other people in the world with that kind of money, and...
Yeah, and there are a lot of, you know, the Saudi princesses, you know, and things like that.
Yeah.
You're not seeing them do...
Anything.
Yeah. A charitable. I mean, you're seeing... And again, maybe it's skewed between... Because we see the people like Richard Branson. We see Bill Gates. We see Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
We see those guys because they're English-speaking.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And with, they're under our radar. So, I don't know what those other guys are doing in their own countries. But... You know, that's kind of the, he can't fix it all, but at the same time, he's leading by example, and I think that itself is a great place to start. Now, I don't understand, but again, maybe it goes back to my own hoarding issues with bath products, but you know, you can make the parallel of why, you know, if you have more wealth than you could ever spend, why do you hoard it?
Yeah.
Is it a mindset of, well, because it didn't have it in youth, and I have that fear, because, I mean, my grandparents did the same thing. When my great-grandparents passed away and we cleaned out their house, we found barrels of sugar and toilet paper upstairs in the attic for fear that the Depression would happen.
They'd be
prepared. And they wouldn't have any access to these things.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that mindset, and they died in their... late 80s, early 90s. So it's not like they could have outgrown it. I mean, they were certainly
right.
wealthy towards the end, but there was always that nagging fear, that childhood underscored, you know, and so...
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how those... You know, and some people, I mean, you look at even our own politicians and what they have and what they make, and so many of them are families of, you know, the Kennedys or the Hines, you know, and all these different families that are rich within the U.S. And then you have the political side, and you have that forever income. What are they doing?
Right.
And it would only take a couple of them to break from the herd and lead by example.
Yeah.
But... I'm sure there's a huge stigma and issue of, you know, if they did that, then...
I just don't care enough about, like, again, like, to me it's survival of the fittest. Like, I don't care enough about people that I don't see directly. Like, if I was a bazillionaire, like, people I see directly would benefit from it, but people I don't see directly,
mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of, like, detached from it. And, I don't know, I don't know, I don't think about world hunger. Like, I think about, like, you know, maybe some poor family that, like, is working three jobs. But, like, still, like, I don't know, in the United States, there are people that go without food, but there's not a reason for them to go without food because welfare will help you. Or, like, I don't know. Like, to me, like, hunger is, I'm so distanced from that.
Right. But at the same time, I mean, again, you're in a different situation, and so, you know, and I hear you, as far as if you don't see it, it's difficult
yeah.
to own it and find the relevance. But it's not as easy. I mean, it sounds good what you're saying as far as the, you know, well, you could just get welfare, you could just get this, you could just get that. That's good.
I mean, I'm not saying welfare is good. I think it's a flawed system. But.
No, but I'm saying it's good that there are resources.
Yeah.
The problem is that we have set up a system with the pay scale for these people because most of these people are not well educated. So it's not like they are just waiting to find that one job or that one headhunt. I mean, they're forced to... go to McDonald's, they're supposed to do, you know, and the whole thing with
yeah.
the wage, you know, the wage fights that they're having now. These are people that oftentimes have larger families, don't have, you know, either ignorance of birth control or don't care about it, and then they end up with a parcel of...
Baby's kids.
Yeah, and so then, you know, there's not, you can't do as much then. To, you know, because welfare only goes so far.
Right.
And if you're trying to feed everybody and that's trying to be your priority and then put the roof over your head, what about a vehicle to get yourself to and from your job?
They make public transportation.
Yes, they do.
I feel like I guess I'm off the topic of like starving people in Africa and just starving people here in the United States. But there are way too many resources in the United States for anyone to be hungry here. There's not an excuse for anyone to be homeless. There's not an excuse for anyone to
be
without
food. Do you know
what's
more fun than Walmart on a weekend?
Walmart on the first.
On Labor Day weekend!
Oh
I was like, you're going to Walmart, you're not eating a fruitcake.
Oh, okay. It's the first, too? And
yeah.
It's Labor
it
Day weekend?
It's the first,
no,
yeah.
I was kidding. Yeah, it was fun.
Uh-huh. See, people using welfare to feed their families. But there's public transportation. There are jobs at like places like McDonald's, and yeah, it sucks that McDonald's only pays you $19,000 a year. Like that sucks. But there are also when you have a family and when you're only making $19,000 a year, guess what? You can go to college for free. There's no excuse to be uneducated. The way that the United States.
When are you going to do that?
When are you gonna go? Like when you're not working at McDonald's.
Wait, but you're taking care of your family. Then you've got these umpteen million children. You've got, you know, umpteen hours on the bus.
Right.
Let's say you're using that.
Right.
You've got that schedule. You got to work as many
hours.
Okay,
while you're on the bus, you can be doing your homework.
Wow.
On what? On your iPhone?
No, with your textbook in your lap while you're on the bus.
When are they going to make it to school? That's the thing. When are they going to get around to getting to classes? I mean, now we're not talking about the logistics of actually physically getting there on the bus. We're talking about making the time.
Okay. They have night classes. They have early day classes. They have classes online. There's no way. And you cannot tell me that if you went to Fair Oaks right now, that you would probably find one apartment without a computer.
I don't know that internet service is a big deal for them. I would say not so much that they have computers, I think that they have cell phones. But again, you're not considering the cost here. And again,
but they would be going to school for free. They're going to have internet at home. Like
you have, but these are people that are not going to see the inherent value. These are the people that are not going to see why do that. You know.
Okay, well, if they don't want to make their lives better, it's not my responsibility.
It's not that
to make
they don't want
better.
To make their lives better. It's just, it's very, very overwhelming. And it goes right back to the point of you talking about how, no, but you want to make changes in your
right.
life. And you keep saying these things, but you don't have a good plan to make it happen.
Right.
Now, you have every capability in the free world to make a different year for yourself.
Right.
And you're smart, you're educated, you've got a good job, you have a car, you have money in your pocket, but you haven't gotten it done.
Right.
Okay.
But I'm also not working at McDonald's trying to support my family of four.
And you don't have a family.
And the government is not giving me dollars.
No, but you're still not able to figure it out, and you're one of the haves, and you're not one of the have-nots.
Yes.
Okay, then.
True.
True.
Well, I'm ready to drink. So I felt very odd because the old lady in front of me was cat food can after cat food can, and then hers rolls by and it's like booze, 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 chips. To which the cashier said, "Oh, party at your house tonight."
Yeah, nothing is more desperate than card at the liquor store. I always get people when I go to Binnie's because I end up stocking up.
Binnie's.
Oh, yes.
I get a case of wine. I usually mix a case of wine. So then you got 12 bottles of that rolling around your cart. And then I top up whatever we don't have as far as like, just regular hardcore liquor. And I always end up with this cart, at least two or three cases of stuff that leaves with me. And invariably, if I never go through there where I don't have somebody going, "Wow, I want to come home with you."
Drink at the church.
Oh, everyone doesn't know.
How does nobody know about
their favorite
Westville, like,
yearly
Christmas?
Labor Day experience?
It's like Westville's Christmas. Like, the people that graduated from Westville call it Christmas time.
Yeah. Labor Day in Westville is bad.
It's like you can walk down the street with, like, liquor. And, like, the church serves, like, it's called Margaritaville, and they serve, like, beer and margaritas, and, yeah.
Yeah.
It's classy. Stay classy, Westville.
Well,
hey,
and
hey,
that's
hey,
what,
hey,
you know, it was so funny to me.
Just because he's here doesn't mean you have to bite everyone.
He was already biting me.
It was so funny.
Okay, you're going outside. Come on.
To see the people that were talking about all the cars that were already lined up for the parade.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, you know, it's Westville Labor Day when trucks are backed up to the street 2 days in advance so everybody can have their spot. It's fucking Westville. It's not the Macy's Thanksgiving parade.
They treat it like that, though.
I know they do.
But it was hysterical because all these trucks were backed up, so then you could have all these people sitting in the beds and on the tailgates watching the parade go by.
While the country music plays.
Oh, yeah.
I'm at home. I know what you're talking about. I feel at home right there.
We've been to Westville. I haven't gone drinking there much in my life.
Count yourself as lucky.
I know. It's not something that was ever high on my to-do list.
It was on my bucket list.
You lived down there, but yeah, I didn't. And so we just did 26 bars, well, 25 bars and a grocery store. On Wednesday night.
When you posted that, I thought it was a reference to that new Simon Pegg movie. Because Simon Pegg has that new movie, like,
yeah,
The World's End.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, where they, that's what they do. They, like, complete this, like, they're going to complete this, like, bar crawl that they kept trying to do in, like, college. And so when you posted that on Facebook, I was like, oh, I wonder how the movie was. I didn't know you did it.
Yeah, I actually did it. What, basically, though, we didn't stay. I mean, it wasn't like we drank at every bar by any means.
That's my style, drinking.
Yeah,
every
I know. We never would have gotten to as many, let me say that. So basically what we did, because we have Mud Volleyball coming up, so September 21st.
Hey, that's the day before my
birthday. Yes, I know. And so that is what we were going to just make sure that those signs got up and people knew about getting teams. And so I think we only stopped and actually drank like four. But it was pretty amazing that we were so efficient. Our driver was very much hell-bent on, okay, let's go, okay, let's go, okay. He basically said, okay, next bar, we're drinking. Wherever it is, next bar, they have this or that, we're drinking. Okay.
That's great.
Yeah, so, yeah, I had a fast call at Fuzzy's.
It's Fuzzy's.
It's off of Fairchild there, over by where the subway is being...
Oh, it used to be called something else. I think I drank there when I was like 21.
Jim and Joe's.
That's it.
Well, Jim and Joe's is still there. That's not the same.
Oh.
Fuzzy's is
the one right there on the corner.
Kinda. I don't know. We had to get to it from the back, and so we had to kind of go through the alley on May and up and around. Now that the subway is under construction, which is hilarious because Jim and Joe's, like the front door of Jim and Joe's, is like this far from the new wall of the subway.
Are you serious?
How's that going to work?
It is ridiculous.
You'll probably use the back door, right?
Yeah, you have to use the back of the side door. But, I mean, I could touch probably their wall and the subway wall. Because we were trying to figure out how to get in. We thought the door was in the front. Well, obviously, they have the front door locked because it's such a drama to get to it.
Yeah.
So we ended up going around and getting through that.
So they're finally fixing Fairchild? I didn't even know they built the McDonald's. And I know you said that you thought we had a conversation.
Somebody said that, told me that, and I was like, the what?
And you were the
mayor.
I don't usually make it down that way.
Well, it's close to work, so we were all excited there.
Yeah.
The Walgreens and it opened.
You don't have to cross train tracks to use it, or do you?
I think
you do. Yeah, Bowman's.
Yeah.
Bowman's train tracks or Griffin.
Well, they've also,
how's Motorola treating you?
I work for Motorola.
What?
I got laid off a year ago.
Yeah.
Stop it!
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
So I
worked for... He was unemployed for a couple months.
Yeah. 3 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So I wondered why you had an iPhone. I just told Justin last night, I was like, why does she have an iPhone?
Because my husband told me he wanted me to get one.
Yeah.
Actually.
Anyway.
I can't can't believe you don't work for Motorola. I'm so lost.
I know, right? 16 years. It happens. Yeah, Google bought us out, right? So that was good for us.
But you didn't, like, get to go work for Google?
I did for 3 months.
Did you really? Did you get to go out to California?
No.
Oh.
No. We were the poor redheaded stepchild of the Googleplex.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah. Everybody that's over at Yahoo, majority of them were Motorola people. When the Motorola site went down, everybody got together, put their resumes in, and they sold themselves as a group.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yahoo came in and picked up like 85, 89 engineers.
Wow.
And like businesses run through Champagne. A lot of the back end stuff that drives the big data portion is based out of Champagne. About 90% of the data that moves through Yahoo moves through that Champagne office.
Is that Champagne office the one that was responsible for that awful article? That should have been a blog and not an article.
Oh, God.
I'm always going to be talking about that. Like, okay, so every day I read Yahoo News, and there was this article on there about this woman that wanted to change her baby's name, and it was all about how she was really indecisive and would regret, like, her fast food orders afterwards. It was, like, a blog, not a news story, and it was, like, one of their news stories.
It got promoted up into the news.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, how does that happen?
That, don't know.
You don't work for them, so I'm sure you
right.
don't know. But
well, so the advertising for the page is like there's a stock exchange that's run for the ads. So everybody bids that, you know, we want this position or this, you know, off of it, and that's all run out of Champagne.
So it was Champagne's fault.
Could have been.
Oh my gosh.
You could.
It's fine. It's fine.
Right.
Everybody was in an absolute tizzy. Oh my God, we lost a job. It's like, Dwayne got severance.
Well, it's scary. We know so many people.
You know,
that
yeah,
are
we do.
Losing
I don't mean,
jobs.
But you know, and that's
yeah.
what it really shocked
yeah.
me because we are going back to some of our previous discussions. We're certainly
mm-hmm.
in the haves, and I was just amazed. I was like, no, we're okay. You know,
we have
yeah.
the skills, the
yeah.
experience.
Yeah,
and the
yeah. But I was really touched, but at the same time, I was a little scared because I was like, my God, do people think that I really am just one small paycheck from living in my car, you know?
I don't think people are saying you were, but I think
no,
anybody
but, yeah,
can
yeah,
be.
And,
like,
that's, and that was kind of, it was very eye-opening to me. It
yeah.
was like, again, and you, what else do you say? You have to say, oh my goodness, you know, are you okay?
Yeah.
It's immediate concern, but it made me think, whoa.
Well, most people, again, they're not very financially responsible with the money that they do have. Most people live paycheck to paycheck, and that may mean that your paychecks are way bigger than someone else's paycheck, but you're still living paycheck
yeah.
to paycheck.
Right.
And not necessarily you guys are. But
no, but
so
I,
like
I
if somebody
that,
loses
yeah.
their job, even though they're making decent money,
yeah.
doesn't mean they're going to be able to afford the nice things that they have.
Yeah.
And so it's scary.
I haven't had to sell off any pets.
Any pets.
As much as you'd like me to.
Egbert's still here.
Egbert's still there. So how is life for you now? Tell me more about what it is you're doing.
Well, I work for Conway Freight, so I'm learning about the freight industry.
Now, have you always worked there?
I did a stint as like a secretary for like a temp agency for like 3 months when I first moved there. But then I like went to Conway, so I've been there for like 9 months.
My dad
about
helped
to
open
10.
Conway here at Ross Lane.
Really?
In Danville. He was the longest driver. He was here from 86. He just retired last summer.
That's awesome.
Yep. He was Diamond Jim. He had
Diamond Jim? I didn't know. Did he
have a million miles of no injuries and accidents? That's awesome. That's like
yeah.
a huge thing.
But his uniforms were emblazoned with Diamond Jim.
Yeah.
That's what they called him.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's what, yep. So
he
started Conway in 86.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, they've only been around for 30 years. Like, they just came back out like 30
yeah,
years.
Well, and they had always been like Conway Central, Conway
yeah.
this, and then they just all kind of came
yep.
together.
You
yeah.
know so much about my company.
I've
oh.
got one of the little trucks upstairs.
Do you? Well, we just had this like employee appreciation week, and so like people were getting like these prizes and everything, and like we were giving away one of those trucks, and everyone was like freaking out over it. I'm like, it's just a truck, like it's like an antique thing, like where you
mine's not even Conway Central. I'll go see if I can find it because it was Conway Central, obviously here in Danville. But
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a Conway Freight in Danville. Like, they kept saying Danville at work, and I was like, why do you guys keep saying Danville? Like, Danville, Indiana? And they're like, Danville, Illinois. And I was like, you know where you came from? And I was like, there's a Conway Freight in Danville? Like, I had no idea.
So I thought Habitat for Humanity was, like, a religious organization. Or
it is.
Probably worked with religious.
It is. You are correct. It is a... it is a organization that is Christian-based. It was started in Georgia umpteen years ago, and it, in 76, and that was, it was a mission that was started to provide decent homes to people, simple,
mm-hmm.
decent housing.
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of this commune in Georgia that the people who were living there decided to start this mission. And that's kind of where it's grown. Now it's international. It's in, I think, virtually every country, as well as the US. We have about 1,500 US affiliates, and thousands more worldwide. You can go on a global build if you wanted to. It's very much like a mission trip.
That'd be awesome.
Exchange project. Knowing where they're doing build projects. It's very interesting to know that in Illinois, or at least in Danville, it's in Danville it's about $50,000 to build a home.
Mm-hmm.
In Champaign, it's closer to $100,000, obviously.
Yeah.
But in foreign countries, $5,000.
Oh my gosh.
So what the Habitat for Humanity affiliates do is we tithe back to the international organization. And that money is not utilized for operational purposes for international. What that money is utilized for is to fund in underdeveloped countries where you need to do things. And so in addition to the 50 homes or 50 families, and that was what the phone call I got was the nice lady who was getting her 50th home coming up on the 15th of September. Aside from just the 50 that we've touched here in Danville, we've also been able to finance 32 more homes worldwide.
Cool.
And that's just Danville.
That's awesome.
Danville alone has made this impact. And so that's a huge thing for me. I think
yeah.
that's a major major accomplishment for an organization that, you know, Danville's Habitat is 10 years younger than the national organization. We started in 86, where they started in 76. But, you know, and for a while there, we were the biggest, most prolific home builder in Denver.
That's awesome.
You know, because nobody was building there for a while.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have a long way to go. There are a lot of great opportunities that we can do. We need to do a lot more.
But how did you find it?
They sought me. My cousin is actually president of the board. Again, Sweaty. and my former DSO administrative assistant is on the board. So I put in my notice on November 14th to the symphony that I would be leaving. It was a Wednesday, that I would be leaving at the end of the year. So I didn't leave in any bad stead. I gave them 6 weeks versus two. You know, I gave them
right.
plenty of time. And, but word in our community travels quickly. That was November 14th. And then on November 16th, Habitat called and said, are you looking for a job? I'm like, not yet. Gotta finish the one I've still got. Gotta do this till the end of the year. Well, we'd really like to have you, and okay. You know, and I put them off. I got the year done, and then the symphony, right after I quit in December, hired me back as a consultant because they had their fundraising gala. So on January 15th, I signed a contract to work through April only as a consultant, if they called. So it was very minimal. They didn't call nearly as much as personally, I think they should have. Not that it's for me for money, but just for their own sanity.
But that was only through April on the event. And then technically I was voted in on like March 19th with Habitat. So I've been with Habitat since that time. But
what do you think of the scandal last year with the Habitat for Humanity groups that were turning away donations from LGBT organizations?
I think it's awful. I mean, because that is not at all... I'm an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And we went over this.
Yeah.
This was... And I basically put my cousin on the spot and I said, listen, mister, you don't want to discriminate against me.
Yeah.
It'd be a really bad idea. Because you don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
And I even met with legal. Went to Atlanta, went to the home office, and met with legal that, and talked about the fact that, you know, my personal discrimination issue, the fact that, you know, they're concerned about me being an atheist and being openly atheist, and how that affects the organization. I'm like, I don't hate Christians, I'm married to one, just because I don't believe, doesn't mean that I am not going to be able to function or work with churches, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not a hatred.
Right.
It just is a difference of opinion. We function as human beings with differences of opinion in many, many
ways. So you've only been there since March and you've already had discrimination?
Oh, that was part of the hiring process. The fact that, you know, well, you know, there were concerns about me because I was an atheist, even bringing me in. They wanted me, but then they were scared to have me because I'm an atheist. Now, thankfully, and this is one of the things, the board president, my cousin, he's got some familial issues in his corner as far as sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was relatable to say, listen, you know, you wouldn't want X and Y to be discriminated against.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like I'm not, you know, I wouldn't be burning crosses in people's yards, but it's not like I'm doing anything very active to be anti. It's not like I don't have Christian friends or
right.
You know, so I'm not. And that was my big thing. It's like, listen, this is not okay. It is not the position of International.
Okay, so it was a local thing, and that's what they told you. So
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to handle,
yes.
you know, that.
I can
way.
Do. I
yeah.
can do, and I think perfect. And I think it might be a perfect fit in the respect that I am different.
Mm-hmm.
I am very LGBT friendly. I am obviously not Christian, but I think we can all work together to make a better community.
You get along with so many different kinds of people. Like, I was thinking about that earlier today. Like, if someone was to just go through, like, something easy, like your Facebook friends list,
mm-hmm.
and look at all the different shapes, colors, sizes of people that you're friends with, I don't think they would understand what they were looking at. Because
mm-hmm.
most people, when they have a group of friends or a group of associates, even,
mm-hmm.
that they choose to keep in their circle, they're a very certain type of people, either, like, maybe a certain class level, or a certain experience level,
yeah.
or a certain job level, or a certain, like, there's, you can almost group them into,
mm-hmm. yeah.
okay,
like-ish.
That makes sense,
yeah.
but when someone looks at you and the people that you keep in touch with, and I know for a fact, just from witness, that you do keep in touch with all these different
yeah, right.
people, and there's people that are constantly in your life, they're not, like, distant parts of your past, they're people that are in your life, it's amazing to me that you have such an assortment
mm-hmm.
of
yeah,
different
they're just
people.
People to me, I don't see them as... I don't label them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just people, period. They're just people I have fun with, people I like, people I have...
Where does that start for you, though? Is it, like, your ability not to judge? Is that where it starts, or is it something else? Like...
I don't know. I guess maybe because I always felt in my own... I've always kind of felt like everybody deserves their own time and space, but having had... my own body dysmorphic drama of, you know, always been told I was ugly. I was always the only child. I did not know how to get along with other people when I was a kid. So I was a spider, you know, in kindergarten. I would have been the one that bit you. I did not know how to share all of those things. I don't know. It's just something that I think part of me initially
maybe did it for selfish reasons when I was young, like child, like not even teenager. I think I became less cliquish and more accepting only because it didn't have the friends I thought I wanted and needed. And so embrace the inner nerd, embrace the, you know, the jock, embrace the beauty queen, embrace everybody. And I was never the popular kid. And I was shunned in some situations. I mean, even in high school, it was drama. I don't know. I can't judge someone because I don't have a very Christian statement. I can't judge someone because I don't want to be judged. I mean, I've got my own issues. I mean, judge me because I'm fat. Judge me because I'm atheist. Judge me because, you know, I'm all of these things or in all of the things I'm not. But I think everybody has something wonderful to offer them. And I have been very fortunate that the people in my life that are the closest to me, my very, very closest friends, my husband especially, see beyond just the physical. They're not just looking at my body, they're not just looking at my brain, they're not just looking at where I work, they're not looking at what sorority I was in, they're not looking at all of these things, they're looking at just me and my heart. And it doesn't matter if my heart is in a lesbian body, or in a fat body, or it doesn't matter. I mean, because this is who I am, and I think that because I dealt with it as myself as a kid, being judged externally. Mm-hmm. I guess my affinity for, the Pride movement and being an ally is because my best friends in college, safest places to be, I know it sounds stereotypical and maybe tacky, safest places to be were with my gay friends. They weren't trying to date rape me. Mm-hmm. They weren't trying to, do anything other than be accepted and be loved and be wanted and yeah. Be too. And I found that in college, and I really didn't get it until I was. And that was amazing to me. To know, I woke up a couple of times on drunk bender nights in bed with Eddie. Eddie was gay. I wasn't concerned. Eddie made sure that I got home and safe, and I was tucked away, and I was like, where am I? Oh, I'm with Eddie. I'm safe. Yeah. Clunk, back to sleep. And, we all went through it. I mean, we worked together when we were in college, and still have a lot of great friends and that I knew from those days, and they're people. I mean, we're all people. We all have our own issues, and we're all different, and that's what makes us, an interesting society to live in. Yeah. The fact that we're not.
Apparently, you weren't that tasty because Bert came in and then you jumped right back outside.
So I don't know exactly how I haven't always been. I don't think. I think I always strived to fit in, and then I came to realize at some epiphany kind of moment that this is pointless and just. Learn to accept, and once you put that out there in the world, that you will be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how. I mean, I don't have, it's not like I had a sibling or anything that really made that home for me. So
Tobias?
It's something even too now that I found out that one of my cousins, he's absolutely gorgeous. He's gay, and my father's family has obviously never spoken of it. I don't know if they just don't talk about it because it's easier to just pretend it doesn't exist. But he's open, and that to me is exciting that he's safe enough
mm-hmm.
to be open and valedictorian of his class at Southern. Now at the university getting his master's and openly gay, and I'm like,
yes, you know, that you feel safe in your age and to be that way. Because would I, if I were in the similar shoes 20 years ago?
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I don't think I. And again, you know, that may go back to the whole 30 years of, you know, do I feel better in my 30s because I can be more honest and more open? Is it all internal or is it somewhat external nurturing that I feel safer to be open as a fat girl? You know, well, but you know what I mean. You know, it's not that whole judgment. I don't know. Because I'm seeing more images of women that look like me.
Yeah.
As opposed to women that just look like Barbie.
I like that you said that. You look at it as like everyone has something to give. Because that's what I see when I like see the way you collect friends in a way. Because you don't look at like, you know, what are they going to give me? Because everyone has something to give.
Yeah.
So.
And it's never been a situation of finding, and this is probably where my maternal instinct kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
More. I look at people as to what I can give them sometimes. You know, how can I nurture? I've made some bad decisions, don't get me wrong. I've made some bad decisions about attempting to nurture people. They seemed to be right at the time, and they were made with the best of intentions. But
on the whole, the better side to lean on, in my opinion.
Yes, I mean, and he's been very supportive of that.
You want a what?
Okay. You know, basically, yeah, it's like, all right, well, you're not going to get arrested for it yet, so, okay. So, but, no, that's kind of where, I don't know, I just feel like I have to leave, and it's kind of funny to me, because I enjoy those people that stereotype atheists in being so self-serving, and so, non-caring and so
because they're like, I don't fit that
lack of compassion.
Yeah.
and that's one of the things. It's like, okay, well, I don't maybe go to church every Sunday, but I still do try to live my life.
Yeah, somebody can look at the door
as a good person
by a lot of those same rules. Next door. It's been
no
a while
thanks.
Since you've been over.
No thanks. I don't want to meet Mrs. Booker.
I do have a car that's been over there once.
I never made it.
Oh, you
remember?
I know, I don't remember.
I got lost out in the country and ended up back in Amanda's. Don't you remember?
You stole my car in the middle of the night and went to...
Because you guys were busy, like, it was after we took all that fruit in that rum. Because we soaked all that fruit in that vodka and then
you
we
left
blended
naked
it up.
Amanda.
Yes. We left you with
what
naked
were we
Amanda
doing
to go on a booty call.
Watching movies or something.
We were like having besties nights because we had besties nights all the time.
Need to have one of those again. It's more clothes and less soaked fruit.
I was thinking more soaked fruit and more clothes. And I won't leave for a booty in all this.
Yeah.
I love how Jen walks into a beautiful house like this and it's like, what am I going to do with this?
Well, yeah.
What are you done?
Like, I don't know what to do with this. I mean, I'm just kind of farm girl. You know, I'm a family midwife and my hand up the ass of a pig. What am I going to do in here? You know,
Jordan says, let me show you. It starts in the kitchen.
United is a whole, like, Sinatra swing. Mm-hmm.
I'm not classy, in case you haven't noticed. I like Little Wayne, okay?
Boy! Hey!
Little Wayne and 90s rock. That's about where I lie.
Who?
Yeah, I know, right? Mr. Drank and his...
Drank?
I love Drank. I saw him twice last year.
No, isn't that what Little Wayne calls his, like, cough syrup? Scissor.
Oh, Purple Drank.
Drank. Yeah. Not Drake.
Oh, I was like, I love Drake.
I'm not saying. I thought it was interesting that Drake was kind of almost hiding his face when Miley Cyrus was doing her.
I know. He was just like, not looking. Miley Cyrus, oh gosh.
Yes.
She got what she wanted, though.
Attention?
Yeah, I mean, she was totally the attention whore. That was just... But, you know, okay, I get it. I'm sorry. I'll take Gaga 97 times over.
I don't like Lady Gaga, and I still thought her performance was classier.
Yeah, and I actually do like some of her music. And I don't always understand what it is she's doing. I mean, I'm kind of a, you know, I'm almost 40. I don't get it, but it's okay. It's not me. But at the same time, it's edgy, but it's not trashy.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the thing is, I mean, she's always pushing the envelope, but she's not... I don't want to say over-sexualizing, but maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's not all about. It's just about being different. It's being about accepting and maybe that's just me and back into my mindset of this is what's right.
There's also a certain skill level. Like, she brings on skilled dancers and dances. Like, she's been practicing and, you know, she can sing like, you know, not everyone can. And
right.
Then you get Miley Cyrus, who's up there twerking badly.
Not on beat.
To a 40-year-old man whose husband is in the audience. It's just, everything about it was just bad.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, I know. And I don't think that Robin was exactly pleased.
They rehearsed that.
Mm-hmm. But do you think she did it that way?
Yes.
I don't think she did.
Because that's, for a week leading up to the VMAs, there were two things that were talked about. Miley Cyrus' performance and NSYNC coming out, and that was leading up to the VMAs.
See, all I ever heard about was NSYNC.
Yeah, they talked about, Miley was interviewed like every day. The only reason I knew is because I went to MTV, because I don't have cable, so I went to MTV to watch the challenge, and every day there would be like a new article on MTV talking about Miley's geared up for the VMAs. Miley says she's going to give something bigger than the Britney and Christina kiss. Like, it was like leading up to it. Like, they practiced that.
It was hyped.
Yes, okay. It was practiced and it was hyped.
Well, I think it was hyped to a certain extent. I know that Robin's wife didn't necessarily care so much. I mean, I know Robin's mother was a little shy.
Yeah, I remember
yeah.
that.
But I mean, like, he has naked, like, topless women in his video for that song, and his wife was all about it. His wife was like, oh, that's really good. So I highly doubt his wife
bringing in the money. Hello?
Yeah. So
let's get shallow. All right.
I highly doubt that she cares about Miley Cyrus.
I want to see what her bath product kind of looks like.
I think my friend at work's mom is like really into that stuff because she was talking.
These are all just, these are high end Estee Lauder esque environment. Kind of thing. Yeah.
I don't think I can make my own scent. Like, I think everything, not everything, but I think most things smell good.
Well, I do too.
And so,
I do too.
To
and
make
is,
my own perfume, I.
Well, and that's what I had to make sure that when I went. And that was something with Walgreens because, again, it talks to you more about how I valued that job because I very seldom wore perfume or body spray or anything. Because
or deodorant.
Like,
I never
wore
makeup.
I wore deodorant, but shut up. I didn't, you know, it wasn't worth it to me. It was a waste. I kind of looked at it like this is a waste of product to me. Where with the Symphony, every day I would either wear perfume or body spray or something.
Yeah.
I would very seldom ever leave the house only if I forgot. And it's interesting to me that was gauged on my job and how valued I felt or how important it was. Because, you know, basically I was a warm body at Walgreens and I didn't feel like anybody give a damn if I, you know, smelled good, bad, or otherwise, as long as I didn't have open-toed shoes without hose.
They do that now. That's a lot.
Yes, Cynthia, let me see.
She's good.
Is she still there?
Yeah.
Huh.
She's good.
Is she still living with her mom, do you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know if she moved, because I haven't seen her.
They just went to France.
She was talking about buying a house in Chicago.
She's not going anywhere. She's a lifer.
Now she
I thought I was a lifer.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Or Spain, maybe.
My hair has gone through this really weird phase since 2009.
Yeah. She got all curly.
Crazy curly
hair.
We think it was she went through the X-rays at Indy.
Yeah.
And they had the machine.
No, seriously. It's very serious.
So she went through and got beat, so they sent her back through, but I think they turned the machine up. Because she has an IUD. And they're like, oh, what is that? Showing up.
I could think, all I think that they saw was metal in my belly.
Yeah.
Maybe I was...
Well, yeah, after that event, she had, like, curly hair for, like, a year and a half straight.
Legit.
That's crazy.
Legit. Totally legit.
It's zapped, too.
Yeah, and then it comes out of that, oh, well, maybe that some of these machines aren't exactly what perhaps they mentioned to the FDA, that the exposure amount was. So.
Yeah. In truth. Because I had this very strange litany of
issues.
Yeah. Truthfully. And he's not joking. It was a situation where I went to Vegas, went through Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. I went through that thing. I had chapstick in my pocket I forgot to take out, and they, like, freaked out on me. They're like, you sure you don't have anything in your... Oh, yeah, I have some chapstick. But I didn't have to go back through.
I hate the TSA. TSA is security theater. It does nothing for us. It is just an expense that is useless and delays me getting through my stuff. So
it doesn't actually help.
It doesn't at all.
Because anybody that's really going to take somebody something on the plane,
they're going to get through. It is not.
Exactly. And you. And
so I'm sorry about the whole profiling thing, but the way that, like, the Israelis do it is the right way, which is they see people coming in, and they say, okay, well, this is the kind of person I need to flag, and ask them questions, not just the three questions that everybody gets at. Did you pack your own bags? Yes. Did you, no. And, yes. Like, useless.
I feel like I've never been asked a question at an airport, though. They usually just look at my
drivers. Don't anymore. They used to.
I was like, they just look at my driver's license.
Now, they just, like, x-ray everyone.
Yeah.
And if you get asked for the pat-down, and it's like, oh, troublemaker.
Yeah. I can't believe that. Like, I'm still.
But Germany was the worst.
Shocked over that.
Germany was the worst.
It really changed my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a whole list of things that happened to me. I mean, like, my hormones are still out of whack. I mean, it truthfully sent my testosterone into orbit.
Yeah.
Male testosterone. In humans, in women, is like between like 30 to 80, depending upon where you are on the menopause spectrum.
Uh-huh.
Mine's like now 350. I have like chin hair. I could grow my own beard. I mean, I've had laser hair removal because of this whole jump. Yeah, good job.
Like, I'm all about, like, the all-natural thing, and, like, I already thought those things were awful just because they're, like, x-raying me, and I think x-rays are, like, voodoo, like, don't do that.
Get the pat down, girlfriend, get the pat down. Regardless, get the pat down.
You're gonna get felt up.
Yeah, it'll be the most action I've had in a while, so I'll take it.
Well, and that was kind of the thing, when I was wearing a really...
You about the woman who was sued by her husband because after he divorced her, he found out she had a hidden... shoe closet full of millions of dollars worth of shoes.
No.
So he sued her.
Damn.
Said you should have included that in the divorce because I should have gotten half of the shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Pin code.
Wow.
Yeah.
I missed my chance.
You're sending me to Asia again. Thank you.
And it's awful that it feels that way to go to Asia. You should be excited. Yeah.
No.
Not when you're there for work.
Go to Bangkok a couple times. When it's
I don't want to go there ever.
101 and the humidity is close to 100%.
Like, what is there even to see in Bangkok that has any
value? Oh,
there's
plenty to see.
That has value to me at all? No.
Yeah. What was the scariest place you went to?
Scariest place?
Yeah, like, you're like, well,
was
this
Bangkok,
because
you just don't know.
Yeah.
And after that long, like, it was time-wise 24 hours of travel. And that you end up like at 1 a.m. in Bangkok Airport, and then you get in and you don't speak the language. And
oh gosh.
It's not like Europe. Europe, you can at least put it together. You can look at a sign, and if it's in German, if it's in Spanish,
you can put it together.
You
can parse it, yeah.
But when, like, you have no idea what the hell the characters mean.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was So then the taxi driver is like, you want to go fast way or you want to go long way?
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, what the am I getting shaken down? What the hell am I going to end up on a side street somewhere? Whatever.
I just want you to take me there.
And that's what, because he was like, oh, businessman, you want a good time? I take you to bar.
Oh, wow.
You want a pretty woman? No, I just want the hotel.
Not that kind of businessman.
No, I'm not so scary. I know.
So it gets better. So fast way meant he was going to take the toll road. And he wanted me to pay the toll,
oh,
so
wow.
He didn't want to pay the toll.
Yeah.
Or else I would have gone up through the long streets. So I was like, fine, here. Thai baht, it was like 10 cents to $10 or something like that.
So it wasn't bad at all.
Oh my god, it was unbelievable. So
yeah.
It was like, you know,
so super cheap.
Throw money at him. And so we go through that, but then just the way it is, it's just all these little crooked, narrow streets. We get off the highway. And to me, it was like this back alley. He turns into this back alley. I thought, shit, I'm going to get rolled. Here we go. And I was like, all right, take the suitcase, take whatever. Here's my money.
Like, I'm done. You're scared.
Done,
your heart's beating.
And no, it was the entrance to the Royal Oregon Sheraton.
Oh,
all these little back streets. And they stop, and they do a bomb sweep of the taxi before they let you in. Yeah, so that was probably the
most non-scariest part.
That was the eye-opening experience of, you know, the third world.
Third world, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like a 5-star hotel right next to a slum. I mean, it's just, and everybody's asking for money, and everybody's always
work,
probably.
Because I feel like I looked at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Germany was great to go
work. Well, Germany, it was like so many more
3 weeks, you know, so
yeah.
A week of work and then 2 weeks.
It was insane.
But by the end of it, I was like, give me someone who talks English.
No, not with
no,
not
yeah,
with
at the end, it was like,
no.
Oh my God, please.
No, at the end for me. It
well,
made,
the end for me was, I'm glad to.
At the end for me, I was actually speaking German again.
Yeah.
So,
well,
for
I
me.
I didn't have that.
You're like, can we stay another couple months?
Yeah. Oh, mean for me. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
The problem is, in fact, I heard it as a kid. I didn't speak it. I never spoke it at home, but I heard it as a child.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, hit home to me how much of a difference that makes as far as the immersion, even if you're not using it.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, I could break it back out. And
I didn't have that.
My family was like, wow, you know so much so quickly. I was like, I don't feel like I know that
well,
much.
Well, you stayed in her field, which is...
I was just there. I mean, we went to every church I could possibly go to. Whether it was falling apart, or it was a gorgeous cathedral still utilized, I wanted to see it. And same with for cemeteries. Even though I know that the families, they only rent, they don't keep their spaces, so it's not like you're buried there forever. You're there and you're out. So it's not like I was going to find my family again. Yeah, because the graves aren't old. You
mm-hmm.
look at me like you don't know.
What do they? I don't know anything
they
about
They trade
it.
Out the graves. Like,
yeah,
not,
so
what
like,
do they do with your body?
You're not cremated.
Cremated, right?
Yeah, so
well, you're not
embalmed.
So you're not saved in, like, preserved.
You
just disintegrate into the ground?
Right.
That is awesome.
You're put in a pine
box.
You're not put in a really elaborate casket, metal casket, and in a vault and all these things. You're just put in
the American way.
A simple box, and it's just your body, and then you go back to the earth.
That is awesome.
Exactly. It's way.
Oh my gosh, I can't even handle this right now.
Okay.
So then they take the tombstone. So it's the family
I'll go
tombstone.
Get the
and then they like just pick it up and like put it
on
the side,
see if I can
and then there's open
the
space
box.
That another family. So then you're
I know if I've got one from
running it for like so many years.
That
yeah.
is so awesome.
30 years. But see, and then it's like so the family takes care of the grave. So everything. So this is very German. Everything's raked.
Uh-huh.
Everything's cared for, plants or whatever. And even like they rake patterns like Zen garden type pattern things into the.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's really like.
So we joke about this the fact that we say slancha. And some people say prost. Some people say you know. Salute, you know, all these things. Well, cilantro sounds a lot like cilantro.
What?
we let the person that's joining us actually give the toast.
Yes.
Just do a new toast.
We can just say cilantro.
Cilantro.
Cilantro!
Hey! You ready to cheer?
So?
What are we cheering to?
We're obviously toasting friendship. To the fun, the excitement that we've had, the journey we've shared, and the silliness that we have to come.
Cheers.
Cheers.